often sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Too often, I'm afraid, we are prone to count our many gripes and complaints and enumerate them one by one, which drives us to the question, do we really understand what we have in Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do we value them? In the social sphere, we all want to be accepted by other people. We'll go to all ends, we'll go to great expense to be accepted. But of greater importance to us than even this should be our concern that we not be an outcast with Almighty God. And the Christian ought to be perfectly clear as to his acceptance in Jesus Christ. He ought not have any doubt here, because if he has, this will mar his testimony, and it will not be clear and convincing, and he will not be useful in his ministry to others. And so you and I this morning ought to be perfectly clear in our understanding of our acceptance in Jesus Christ. Now, we know the Bible says that in our natural state, we're all separated. The Bible says we're at enmity. We're alienated from God by our wicked works. We're with dead in our trespasses and sins. We're without God. But this morning I want to direct your attention to the sixth verse of Ephesians 1, which says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This word accepted is an interesting word. In the original it means endued with special honor. And the only other place where this word appears in the New Testament is in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, the 28th verse, where you find the angel Gabriel announcing to the Virgin Mary that she is to be the mother of Jesus. And he says, thou that thou art highly favored. And this is the same word. Hail thou that art highly favored, that art graciously accepted, or literally, that are much graced. Now, Mary was highly favored. She was much graced because she had been chosen by God to be the instrument for bringing the Son of God into this world. She had been created for this purpose, that by a supernatural miracle within her might be conceived the Son of God, and that she might be his mother. She was highly favored. She was chosen of God. She was much graced. So it is with a Christian. The Christian has been chosen by Almighty God. He has been redeemed by the blood of the Son. He has received adoption as a son. But also in Colossians 1:20 it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. At regeneration, you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus Christ now lives within us by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only have we been redeemed, not only have we received adoption as a child of God, but Jesus Christ has now come to live within us by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We have been much graced. We have been greatly favored. A little bit more about this idea of acceptance. Over in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, where Almighty God is speaking to Cain, God implies that the reason why Abel's sacrifice was accepted, because in that sacrifice, Abel was denoting that he was aware of his own sinfulness and his need of atonement. This is why Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God. Similarly, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, verse 4, we are told that the offerer placed his hand upon the head of the animal that was to be sacrificed, denoting not only his identification with the substitute, but also the transfer or the imputation of his sin and his guilt upon the animal that was to be sacrificed. And then it says, it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now we find certain principles involved here that are involved in the sacrificial system throughout the Old Testament. First of all, there was a confession of the need of atonement on the part of the sinner. Secondly, the atonement was to be made by another, a substitute, in this case an animal. Then there was to be faith in the atonement made. And finally, the one who trusted or rested in that atonement that was made by a substitute was accepted by Almighty God. Now this is a beautiful picture of what we find in the New Testament. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ's active and passive obedience. When Jesus came to this earth, he did something that you and I could never do. Jesus lived an infinitely perfect life here upon earth, something that the first Adam failed to do. And in doing that, he procured eternal life. He fulfilled all the righteous demands of God's law. He was without sin. This was Jesus' active obedience. But also, we talk about his passive obedience. And what that means is that Jesus died the death that you and I should have died. He bore the penalty of your sin and my sin in his own body on the cross. He died the death that you and I deserve to die. This was his passive obedience. And because of this, because he fulfilled all righteousness, living an infinitely perfect life, and because he paid for the penalty and the guilt of our sin, you and I, by faith, trusting him, looking to his substitutionary atonement, are accepted by Almighty God. Now it says we are accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved means the eternally loved one, who is Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus' baptism, and again on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Son from all eternity was beloved to the Father. And it's only in Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, that any one of us is accepted. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. Notice verse 13 of Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh. Again, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Or again, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How are you and I accepted by the Father? Only in and through Jesus Christ, the Beloved One. We are clothed with his righteousness. It is put to our account. And he dealt with our sin. Now something, my friends, that we often overlook right here. If Jesus Christ is the Beloved, have you ever considered the amazing love of the Father that was willing to turn loose the Beloved Son who had been loved by the Father from all eternity? The amazing love of the Father that was willing to let the Son come down here and be the sin offering for your sin and mine. But equally amazing is the love of the Son, the love of the Beloved, who had been loved by the Father from all eternity, and yet he was willing to come down here to endure and experience the very worst. Even up there on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was experiencing separation from the Father, something that we can't even fathom, in order that you and I might be accepted in him. The amazing love of the Father and the amazing love of the Son. You know, my friends, what is absolutely astounding to me? It overwhelms me. In John 17:23, where Jesus is addressing the Father, he says this, Thou hast loved them, his disciples, poor sinners, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. So that when you come to Colossians, we read these words, Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Think of it, my friend. The amazing love of the Father that was willing to turn loose the Son to suffer and die. The amazing love of the Son, the Beloved One from all eternity, who was willing to come down here and endure and experience the very worst in our behalf. But absolutely astounding that in Jesus Christ, you and I are as much loved by the Father as the Father loves the beloved Son. We are the beloved of the Lord. And I would emphasize to you this morning, it is entirely due to His grace. Verse 6 says, He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, what are the fruits of acceptance? First of all, we are His children whom He loves. Again, in John 16:27, Jesus says, The Father Himself loveth you. Now, does that grip your soul? Pause a moment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spake. The all-powerful sovereign creator spake and brought this immense universe into being. And yet it says here that in Jesus Christ, the Father Himself loveth you. But we also have access. John 16:23, Jesus said, Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He will do it. Think of it. Poor, lowly, fallible, finite, sinful human beings saved by grace, and yet you and I can get down on our knees, we can lift our voices and our eyes to heaven, and we can say, Father, and whatsoever we ask in His name, He will do it. Access to the Father. And then our home with Him for eternity. John 17:24, Jesus says, That they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Think of your destiny. You who get perplexed and puzzled and fearful of death. Jesus prayed to the Father that they may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. This is what it means to be accepted. To be loved by the Father as much as the Father loves Jesus. To have access unto the Father. To be with Him in glory. To be at home with Him. And finally, to the praise of the glory of His grace. The glory of His grace. As you look at that table this morning, that's what ought to stare you squarely in the face. The way of acceptance, the way of access, is all of His grace, all of His doing. His broken body, His shed blood, each of us by nature, without any merit, totally undeserving, infinitely unworthy. Do you believe that? Now, if you don't believe that, this table really will not mean anything to you. If somehow in the back of your mind and your heart, you think that you're good enough, or that you can do enough good things to get you by and gain you acceptability with God, this table isn't going to mean anything to you. But the Bible is clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes you and that includes me. Totally undeserving, without any merit, infinitely unworthy. But in Christ, highly favored, graciously accepted, much graced. You get it? You understand the message of the gospel? This is what it's all about. We couldn't, but He did. May we pray. Father, as we come now to partake of the sacrament, help us to see and to understand. Lord, by nature our proneness is to be proud and self-sufficient and self-righteous, so impressed with our own pedigrees, with our own accomplishments, our own character, our own good works. But your word's to the point. It says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in thy sight. Nothing in our hand are we bring, only to thy cross do we cling. So Lord, give us true humility. Give us true repentance. As we prepare now to come to your table, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.